Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Leads the missions department for Nations Church. He's been a pastor for many years. He has such a magnificent heart for God, and he just communicates the word so powerfully. So we are a church that honors here. So I can invite you to stand to your feet and give Pastor Ken a big round of applause as he makes his way to the stage. Thank you, Pastor Ken.
Thank you so much. You can take your seats, and haven't the musicians done an amazing job? So good. There's so many up here. So good. I can see there's not many seats out there, so you're getting more up here and make room. It's a great way to go. Love to you, Steve and Jackie, and our hearts really go out to you. Thank God for eternity. Thank God for eternity, because that's our ultimate hope, isn't it? That we'll all meet together again with Him in eternity. God bless you. We love you and honor you this morning. Okay. Today, our focus is on connect groups and serving. It's a bit dangerous telling you that right up front, because some of you have just said in your heart, I've got this. You know, I attend a connect group and I serve, so it's all good. I can think about lunch. Some of you have just switched off. And that's because for a few of you, it's impossible with the commitments and the things that are going on in your life. Some of you, you know in your heart, it's not a real priority. So leave things, continue as they are. Let's not talk about it. I've made my decision. You know, and there are any number of reasons for that and behind that thinking. But wherever you're at when it comes to connects and serving, God's got something for you this morning. Amen? Because I'm going somewhere with this. And I've discovered that, you know, we can talk about connect groups and we can talk about serving and, you know, people feel obliged and all that. But I found that doesn't lead anywhere. Because really, connect groups and serving is a heart issue. It's actually what's going on in here that will make sense. It's not the what, but the why that I want to talk about this morning. You know how sometimes you go through seasons where God just messes you up? You ever been there? Yeah, I've been one of those seasons. You know, God just, He messes you up. And, you know, for me, it's been a season of back to basics where God actually asks a question. So how you doing? How you doing? And, you know, it's so easy. You know, when people ask you how you doing, you say, yeah, great. Yeah, doing good. Yeah? Without really actually answering the question. But God has been asking me the question that's been going a lot deeper than, yeah, good. He's going, no. How are you doing? What's actually going on in your heart? What is actually happening below the surface? What's motivating you? Why do you do what you do? Can you actually see in you what I can see in you? You ever been there? And I'm not saying this in any condemning way, but those reality checks are so necessary to keep us from just being religious, and doing religious things. It's those reality checks that kind of get into our heart where God begins to challenge us and ask us some stuff. Because he wants us to grow. He wants us to move forward. He wants us to progress. He wants us to know his presence more. He wants our lives to be more full. He wants us to be in a close communion with him. Because isn't that what it's always about? And with that, it always comes back to the heart. That's a heart situation. Thank God. You know, in these seasons, I just thank God so much for his amazing grace. You know, we can talk about grace and think about grace as something that is, you know, but it's amazing grace that helps us deal with our heart to get in. And it's amazing grace that empowers us. It's amazing grace that helps us to see. It's amazing grace that helps to change our heart. It's amazing grace that helps to change our desires. Because sometimes when God is looking in our heart, there are areas we don't want to change. We don't want to give up. We don't want to do what he's asking to do. But when we come to him and say, God, I just need grace. Will you help me to love what you love, to see what you see, to desire what you see? It's then that amazing grace comes and begins to do what I can't do, begins to change what I can't change, begins to help me see what I can't see. And that's how we keep growing. That's how we keep ourselves moving to become more like Jesus, experiencing more of his love, more of his peace, more of his joy, more of his power, more of his reality actually at work in our lives. I want to read a passage that helped me ask some of these questions of myself. And if God's picking on me, Why should you get off scot-free? I want you to take note of the phrase, follow me, in the passage that we're about to read. And that relates to my sermon title, which is, How is Your Following? My wife said, that's weird, that doesn't make sense. But I thought, okay, well, I'm going to run with it anyway because I thought of it. How is your following? And I'm reading from Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 22. Matthew chapter 4, 18 to 22. And as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said. And I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. You know, we understand the phrase to follow someone. You know, if you're going somewhere and you say, oh, I'll follow you, or they say, yeah, I'll follow you. So we understand that. So you get in the car and they go through every orange light and they get out into the traffic where there's no gap for you. You know what I'm saying? But you sort of kind of look out for each other and do your best to get there at the same time. Or maybe, you know, you can follow a sport. Or follow a sports person. Maybe you follow a serial on Netflix or on the telly. And if you're younger, following somebody probably relates to Instagram or some kind of electronic whatever. you know, to follow someone means you have a sort of an interest in the person that you're following. And that, for most people, you know, you follow and you kind of dabble in the lives of multiple people following them. You know, it's all pretty impersonal and you're left to determine the context of the communication when you look at it. And you kind of, when people on Instagram or Snapchat or whatever, that you kind of loosely follow the highs and the lows of their life. It's usually the highs where they're talking about food or a holiday or kids or pets. I honestly don't get it. I don't care about your pet, honestly. Is that okay to say that? It's not okay. I'm sorry, I deeply care about your pet. You love your rabbit, I know. It's good. But it's kind of like, you know, you follow somebody and you don't know a whole lot about them. You just get snatches of where they're at and what's going on in their life, what's important to them. But see, the account we read is very different to the current general usage of the word follow. When Jesus said, follow me, he wasn't talking about Instagram. He wasn't talking about a journey following somebody in your car. See, what Jesus asked of the disciples was not casual. There was something very intentional about it. It was not just an event. You know, when we read the passage, we can see what it meant to Peter and the first disciples to actually follow Jesus. They left everything. They dropped everything. They put everything down in order to follow him. It wasn't a casual or convenient follow me, as so often we understand today. It meant, you know, the word follow, if you look in the Bible, when Jesus used that word follow, it actually means to form a union. It means a coming together. It means a likeness. It means to pursue intentionally with the goal of replicating the person you are following. In fact, if you go back, the root of the word that is used is often tied in with the attitude and the disposition of a hunter who has his heart set on an animal and a trophy. And so he gets the scent or the trail of that animal, and come what may, he is going to follow that animal until he finds it. And so this follow was so different. In fact, 77 times in the gospel we read the words, follow me. To follow Jesus. And so, you know, as we read on and we engage with the stories of the disciples' lives as followers of Jesus, wow, the fruit that came from their following of Jesus is amazing. We read in the book of Acts and through the Gospels, the fruit of actually following Jesus and the way that it impacted their lives and the world that surrounded their lives. They physically followed Jesus. But much more than that, it was their hearts that followed Jesus. It was a heart connection that followed. You see, Judas, who betrayed Jesus, followed Jesus physically, but somewhere his heart went missing. Following, but not with his heart. Jesus' call to each and every one of us is the same call today. Follow me. Follow me. But what does that mean to you right now? In your life, in your circumstances, in your situation, in your busyness, what does it actually mean to you today to follow Him, to follow Jesus? What's your response in your heart right now with what you know is going on in your world? See, what Peter and the others did was had a heart response that actually guided their actions. Today, right where I'm now you're starting to get the context of what Jesus is saying to me. In our context, with all that I've got going on, with all the things that are happening in my life, the challenges, the good, the things that I've learnt, the things that I know, what is my response today to Jesus' words, follow me? What does it actually look like for me today, now? Forget all that's happened. Now, here, today. What does it actually mean to me when Jesus says, follow me? Is it an all-in yes? Or am I afraid to engage with that call? Because in my heart, I know there's some things I might need to let go. There's some things that He might just want to do to change me. Some things I just might have to give up. A new level of faith that He might be looking to. See, what does it mean to me? And what does it mean to you today when He says, follow me? See, we can't see into the future. We don't know, but Jesus can. And so His call today to follow Him is meant to be preparing us for the tomorrow that He's leading us into. What He has for us, and to see His kingdom come and His promises fulfilled, and all of it will lead to life, the life of Jesus. And He wants to help me with His amazing grace. And He wants to help you with His amazing grace. You know, as I've been thinking about this, there are lots of ways that we can follow Jesus. I don't know if you've thought about that, but you know, we can so easily just become a part of the crowd that were constantly following Jesus. Crowds followed Him everywhere. Crowds were always, everywhere He went, crowds followed. Definitely, there was some form of commitment, because you had to drop your daily normal routine activities in order to be part of the crowd to follow Jesus. So there was a level of commitment in their decision that they were going to go and go where Jesus went and to follow Him. You see, in Mark 3, verse 7 and 8, it says, Jesus withdrew with His disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. And when they heard about all He was doing, many people came to Him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan, around the Tyre and the Sidon. They made an effort to get to where Jesus was. They made an effort to become part of the crowd. They took time out. But why did they follow? What was in their heart in following Jesus? What was actually going on? They probably followed Him. And I don't know, because I don't know everyone in that crowd, but my guess is many of them followed Him because He was unique. He was different. He was saying different things. He was doing things that they had never seen before. He was doing miracles. There were times when He fed the crowd. They looked at Him and went, this guy is incredible. Somewhere the words maybe that He spoke brought an element of hope and brought an element of acceptance, and maybe they loved it when the scribes and the Pharisees would come and try and trick Jesus, and a lot of the people didn't have a whole lot of time for the scribes and Pharisees, and maybe they just loved seeing Jesus put those guys in their place. I don't know why they followed him. But what I do know is that it didn't change their lives. They went home that night and got up the same people. Nothing was different in their life. They were just part of a crowd. In fact, Jesus said to the disciples in Mark chapter 4, he says, I only speak in parables because these people, they're listening without hearing, they're seeing without seeing. He said, so I'm speaking parables because they choose to remain on the outside as part of the crowd. You're different because you're actually following me. It's easy to sit in a happening church, but be a part of the crowd. See, following Jesus was never meant to leave people unchanged. Following Jesus was never meant to leave me being the same person this time this year as I was this time last year. I should be different if I'm following Jesus. See, following him was never about an event or a gathering or something. It was always about actually following and loving him and seeing a life transformed. You can't help but follow Jesus and stay the same. You can't. So the crowd missed the whole point. You know, it's also possible to follow at a distance. Peter did that at one point through hurt and disappointment, discouragement and guilt. We read in Matthew 26, verse 57 and 58, it says, those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. Peter followed from a distance. You know, it was at that distance that Peter found it possible to deny Jesus. It was at a distance that he found it so easy to say, I don't know him. I don't know about this guy. You see, whenever we follow at a distance, it's so easy to compromise, to be slack, to put our own self-interest and convenience first. To get distracted, to do my own thing in the week and then come to church and try and make it right before going back into my week to do my own thing. We all know what it's like at times in our lives and seasons to follow at a distance, right? It's possible, but it's also a dangerous place. Because, you see, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. It's his voice that guides us and leads us and instructs us. But if we're not close enough to hear his voice, what voice are we listening to? What are we hearing? And so this is what I found. You know, those seasons in my life where I've followed at a distance, his voice becomes one of many other voices that are all clamoring for my attention. And it's so hard to hear his voice, and it's so easy to listen to another voice that is more convenient, that is easier, that doesn't cost me anything. It just becomes more like a casual relationship where we keep up with the latest Instagram post or Snapchat. You know, there are lots of reasons why we can follow at a distance just like Peter did. through fear, pride, or hurt, unforgiveness, disappointment, habits, or just simply other priorities that keep us busy. Just gradually slip back to where we know truth, but truth is just one voice amongst many in our lives. You see, what was the end result of it all for Peter was that he came to that point where he just got so discouraged. He said, I'm going back fishing. I'm going back to my old ways. I'm going back to what I know. I'm going back to what is comfortable. I'm going back to what I understand. I'm going back fishing. But thank God for amazing grace that rescued him on the beach. Amen? And said, hey, Peter, come on. Follow me. Follow me again. You know, it's possible to follow people who follow Jesus. I've seen so many husbands following their wives' spiritual fervor and leadership. Sorry, guys. But it's true. Not amongst you. Following people who are following Jesus is better than nothing. But Jesus has something personal for all of us. He wants to talk to us personally. And while following somebody is good, it's so much better to be walking with somebody but hearing from him because we're following him. As we walk with other people, he wants to personally engage with our heart. Can you begin to see? I hope this is all right. I'm not depressing you too much. Because see, following Jesus is a heart issue. It's what comes out of here. It's what's going on in here is ultimately where we come back to. You know, I love looking at the life of Caleb. In Joshua 14, we read that Caleb got his mountain. He was one of the 12 spies, and he was positive about the whole thing while the other 10 weren't. And because he honored God, and out of the 10 spies, they all wanted to turn back, but he's saying, no, I want to go for this. And we know what happened. They ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And then when they finally got there, Caleb comes to Joshua. And this is the conversation in Joshua 14 and verse 8 through 14. He says, but my fellow Israelites who went up with me, this is the spies, made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, and he has kept me alive these 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved among the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old, and I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out and to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. And so Hebron has belonged to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite ever since, because he followed the Lord God of Israel, wholeheartedly. That's the way you follow the Lord. Amen? Wholeheartedly. So, why am I focusing on this today? And how does it connect with serving and connect groups? Well, when we follow Jesus, he's changing our lives. but he's also leading us somewhere. Following is not a stationary thing. When we follow him, he is actually leading us somewhere. Jesus is leading us into community and service. That is exactly where he is leading us. Into community and service. You see, he's building a body that he is returning for. He's bringing a body together. And when we truly follow him, he is knitting us together as his body that he is returning to, his community that he is coming for, the church. See, when we truly follow him, he deals with the hard issues that separate us from people and from him. And he makes us more like him. And his heart was always for people and serving. That was always for people and serving. 1 John chapter 2 verse 5 says, "But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did." That's more loving, more caring, more purposeful. We carry his heart, which is always for his church and in serving. Is this making sense? See, the reality of truly following Jesus can only ever be outworked in community. Christian attributes are all expressed in community and service. And those attributes come out of our heart. You know, the Bible says that people will know we are Christians by our love for one another. How do you express love if it's not in community? How does love live if it's not in community? How is love seen if it's not in community? How is love felt if it's not in community? One John 3 says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." See, there are so many things that we could talk about today. Discipleship happens in the context of community. There are so many, you know, I love, if ever you want to do a great Bible study on living in community, look at the one another's that the Bible talks about. It says, "We who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the other." Because that's like in a natural body. What I do impacts other people. If I hit my thumb with a hammer, it affects the rest of my body. If I don't get enough sleep, it affects the rest of my body. If I've got a sore ankle, it affects the rest of my body and how my body functions. We're all part of the body. So what our heart is contributing, our attitude to contribute to the body, will affect the body. Because we're called to community. We're being built into one body. And so when we're built into one body, when we follow him, we will truly be led into what it means to be genuine in community and in serving. It can't be anything other than that. I'm going to skip over a whole lot here, but you know, my heart, where my heart is really at, will be seen in my heart for community and service. Because if I'm following Jesus, that's where he's leading me. Because that's where his love, his peace, his grace, his joy is expressed. Otherwise, you can't love without being in relationship. I can tell you all I want, to my wife that I love her, but if I ignore her, if I'm never with her, she's not going to believe me. It's what I do that tells her, far beyond my words, that I love her. And that's how it is with us. That's what God is wanting to do with us. Build us together as he works on our heart. Build us together. And the safest place for that to happen is in a connect group. Because you can't relate. There's too many people here for you all to relate on a regular basis. But what you can do is relate to people and care for people and love people and demonstrate your heart to people in a connect group where you're rubbing shoulders, where you can be honest, where you can do life's journey, where you can express the love of God, his peace and his grace, and you share your ups and downs, and your heart begins to shine in a connect group where people together are saying, we're going to follow Jesus, and all that it means to follow Jesus will overflow into your connect group. And your connect group will overflow into the life of the body of the church. Because that's what it does. So that's why, I started by saying, I'm not here to tell you to go to connect groups. Go to connect groups. That's not why I'm here. I'm not here to put pressure on you to serve. What I'm saying to you this morning is, hey, when Jesus comes to you as he is right now saying, hey, how's your heart? This amazing grace here for you today to go, hey, I want this year to fly. I want to see the purposes of God fulfilled in my life this year. I want to see this place overflowing this year. I want my attitude to my heart, to my kids this year to be something that is so beautiful in there. So I want my interactions with people to be something that people go, you're a Christian. I can tell that by your love. But I can tell it because of your love for one another right here that joins us and builds us and connects us, and where we begin to overflow with the Jesus that we're following and becoming like. So follow him. Follow him. But don't be surprised if he leads you into community and service, because that's his heart for people. Why don't we just bow our heads for a moment?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.